discussing what the parameters of Bechsa Mazon Deraisa. We spoke about this both from a quantitative aspect as well as from a qualitative aspect, in the sense of how much a person has to eat in order to bench Min HaTorah, what kinds of foods a person has to bench in order to be Chai Min HaTorah. And we came across with some solutions, some conclusions last week, that it is far from muskum, far from agreed upon, what exactly is the mechayev of Bechsa Mazon level of Deraisa. The very basic question that we dealt with last week was the word v'savata. What does v'savata mean? So whereas Tosfos understood that v'savata requires kedei sviya, and short of kedei sviya, you're not dealing with the Bechsa Mazon Deraisa at all. The Ramban and other Rishonim disagreed and said no. The v'savata, in fact, doesn't really mean kedei sviya. V'savata refers to what the Gemara says shtiya, that we had to bring my flags to Rishonim, what shtiya means. And we had a lot of other Rishonim flying around about, in order to be chayav of the Muslim deraisa, is it only bread? Could it possibly cover shivas aminim? Could we differentiate between wine and other shivas aminim? A lot of possibilities. But all the dust settled, though, there are certain situations that arise in the Muslim deraisa, and there are certain situations that arise where, at least according to some, the Muslim may only be midirabim. And this sets the stage for us, in terms of the really significant today, is to analyze the notion of one person being motzi, somebody else in Bechsa Mazon. And in order to answer these shailas correctly, if and when somebody can be motzi, somebody else in Bechsa Mazon, we have to analyze and understand precisely who's chayav deraisa and who's chayav olam midrabanan. The reason why it's so critical is because of the Mishnah. It's the Mishnah actually in the end of the Yom, the end of the third Pesach of Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah tells us that whatever I motzi you in a particular mitzvah, the Mishnah there begins, of course, talking about Yeshua, but the Gemara quickly extends it to other things as well. Whenever Reuven is going to be motzi Shimon in any given mitzvah, there's a klal gadol that he has to be what's called the mechuyav v'davar, that he has to be obligated in that mitzvah. If I'm taught him in a mitzvah, for example, let's say give it in a Maaseh Rosh Hashanah, if a woman wants to blow the shofar for a man, that's not acceptable. Because she's not mechuyabes from shofar, it's chitzna fish as my grandma. Therefore, someone who is ain't a mechuyabed over cannot be mighty somebody else in a chavasai. That's a klal gadol, no question, nobody ever argued on that din. There happens to be a balamar in Maseches Brachos, in the third tract, that seems to say that din proper is only a din midrabanan. That min haTorah, there's no such thing called a mechuyabed over. The very, very difficult balamar is the Rabban himself, takes issue with that balamar and says, well, shamanah dem zem yoyimim. It would appear from the pashas of all the other Rishonim that will disagree with the Balamor that this is a real bona fide din midiraisa. In order to be mighty somebody in Echavasai, you have to be chayav in that mitzvah. You have to be a mechuyav bedavar. There is a lot of lumdus as to why that should be so. Like, why is that so critical that I have to be a mechuyav bedavar not to be mal to you? The reason why it's somewhat questionable in terms of lumdus is because as Yaduah Meforsam is a very famous machlekes the Gedolei Acharonim, what the mechanics of Shomei Ka'ina are in the first place. The very idea that I can be might to you in a mitzvah Shabbat Dibor, it's predicated on the principle called Shomei Ka'ina. The very, very famous machlekes in the Beis Halevi and others, what the nature of Shomei Ka'ina is. Does Shomei Ka'ina mean that, in a certain sense, my Dibor is Mesiaches to you? It's basically the mitzvah taking place with the Dibor of the Medaber, and do some kind of a quasi-shlichos-oriented kind of a halacha, my Dibor relates to you. What do I say? No, that's not at all what Shemei Ka'ina means. Shemei Ka'ina means I can be yetzei a mitzvah with Shmia. It's not that Reuven's Dibor was yachis to Shimon, but the fact that Shimon is hearing something, Shmia is a method to fulfill mitzvah Shemei Dibor. They're almost like two different paths to go, two different parashas of mitzvah Shemei Dibor. You can be yetzei mitzvah Shemei Dibor either through a Dibor, but you can be made to be the Shemei Dibor through Shemiya. So if you understand that Shemei Ka'ina is a quasi kind of a shlichus tikkudim, that somehow the Dibor of the Medaber is the siyaches to the Shemiya, then I understand full well why there's a halacha of being mechuy bedaber. Almost like similar to shlichus, that in order for shlichus to take effect, so the person who's doing the item has to be in a sense victorious, has to be involved, has to be shayach to that item, in order for it to be siyachis to somebody else. So I understand why the halacha requires that you have to be mechuy bedavar if the nature of Shemei Ka'ina is such that the mitzvah is lying within the deeper of the medaber. But if the nature shmekoyle is such that it's the shmias hashemeya, that's the maisa mitzvah, that's the essence of the mitzvah, why do I care who I hear it from? What's the difference whether I hear the dibur from mechubidah or not mechubidah? At the end of the day, it's my shmia that's all that matters. So basically, the Acharan explained that even if you hold that shmia kohena, the focus and the emphasis is on the shmia, but the idea of shmia kohena means you have to be shmia dvar mishal mitzvah. It's not enough just to be shmia words alone, not enough to be shmia sounds alone. It has to be chal on those dibur a dvar mishal mitzvah. It's almost mashal amadav adoyne. In the same way that in order to write parashas of tefillin, I have to be a mechuyi bedover. I can't create that chetz of tefillin unless I'm a mechuyi bedover. So too, ke'ein, and he says again, but ke'ein that idea, in order for me to be toyel, the deeper shul mitzvah, I have to be someone who that mitzvah speaks to. If I have no shaychus to that mitzvah, then I cannot create that dover shul mitzvah, and therefore what you're hearing is just sound waves. You're not hearing words of a mitzvah. No matter what the lumbus is, what do you think that the halacha of the chuy bedavar is rooted in the shlichus dimension possibly of shemei kohenim? Or whether you think that the chuy bedavar is rooted in this new razzle-dazzle lumbus of creation of dvar b'shal mitzvah, which is subsequently going to be heard by the shemei, or even if you think that the halacha, this whole thing is the rabbanon, the mice in the din appeal. It didn't exist, there's no shal about it. Since it didn't exist, and again, according to the root of the rishayim, it's a dimminat. But now comes the Gemara of Masechet Brachos and goes one step further within this cloud of Mechuy B'Dover. The Gemara raises the following question. What would the din be if you have two people and they're both Mechuy B'Dover, but their level of Chiyuv is not identical? One is Mechuyuv Midaraisa and one is only Mechuyuv Midarabana. Can the Darabana be mighty the Daraisa? So on the one hand, they're both Mechuy B'Dover. On the other hand, maybe one could argue that since on the level of the Araisa, the Dirabonim is not Mechuy B'Dover. If you ask Meshur Abeinu wouldn't be Mesiachais to the Mechuy B'Dover with Dirabonim. There's no such thing on the level of the Araisa being a mitzvah Dirabonim. And therefore, maybe within the world of Mechuy B'Dover, in order for the label to be qualified as a Mechuy B'Dover, the Mechuy B'Dover has to be not just Mechuy B'Dover, it has to be Mechuy B'Dover with the Araisa. If Reuben is only Mechuy B'Dover with Dirabonim, that's going to fall short to be mighty Araisa. So the Gemara says the Feirush of Masechet Brachos in the third parak, but that is in fact correct. That a Mechuy B'Dover Min Derabanan cannot be Maiti a Mechuy B'Dover Min Deraisa. And the Gemara says it specifically in the context of Birchas Hamazon as a continuation of some of the things we spoke about last week. Birchas Hamazon is a Mitzvah Deraisa. At least sometimes, either they Sviya or Hefnes Sviya, sometimes the Chalpas of Antarach Tiksin. The Mishnah tells us in the third parak of Brachos, Nashim chayavas birchas hamazon. Women are obligated to bench. Mishnah lists off all the different chiyuv and keturim that a woman has on a daily basis. Women keturim speak kriyashma, women keturim speak tefillin, nashim chayavas betfila, nashim chayavas birchas hamazon. So there was never a question whether women are obligated to birchas hamazon. The only thing the Gemara is not sure about is what degree they're chayav. Is a woman's obligation in birchas hamazon the araisa, or is it only the rabbanon? Why would one say the araisa? Well, why not? It's mitzvah shenas mangarama. There is no set time to bench. You bench any time you decide to eat, you become a chuyav to bench. Just because you can only bench for a certain amount of time after you eat, that's a joke. That's not a real serious question. Remember when I was in fifth grade and we learned that Mishnah, somebody raised their hand and asked that question and said, wait a second, why isn't birchas hamazon a mitzvah shenas mangarama? You can only bench for 72 minutes after you eat. And that's a fifth grade question. That's not a good question. Because you can bench any time. You have a chuyuf to bench any time. Is it din that if it's achel hamazon b'meyav, if you already finished, whatever that means, that the food is digesting, whatever that the halach equivalent of that is, so then the mitzvah is over. You're blue, it's too late to bench. It's not that because the Muslim is his mind grown. You eat it any time, 365 days a year, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, night. Any time you eat, you're equipped to bench. So birchas hamazon is clearly not his mind grown. So the starting point is if it's not his mind grown, women should be chayav. Why would anybody argue with that? The Gemara never actually explains what the tzad l'chalak is. The Gemara just raises the shayli v'ilu, nashim birchas hamazon deraisa derabanan. If it's deraisa, very simple. If it's derabanan, wash it up yourself. There's machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What the reason for that dissenting possibility in the Gemara is? Rashi says the reason why perhaps a woman's obligation is only with derabanan Bichsa Mazen, because Bichsa Mazen is so directly linked to Eretz Yisrael, and women didn't get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Now it's true that the Naslacha did get a share in Eretz Yisrael, but that's not a halachic chelik in Eretz Yisrael, because they only got it because the father or the grandfather or something from Vazra, but they didn't get it because Atzman, and therefore Nashama continued to be Eilam Chelik Ba'aretz, and therefore one can conceive of the fact that the Achiv cannot possibly be their Isa. They can't say with a straight face, La'aretz of the Rosh Nasalach. Tosis raises the question, if that's the case, so then why Kohanim and Levim obligated to Bichsa Mazen Deraisa? The Tosis quickly differentiates between the two. Tosis says, Midas Rashi, that women get no chelik in Eretz Yisrael, whereas the Levim, they got the Ori HaLevim, so they did have a certain share. They didn't quite have the regular field as the rest of Klai Yisrael, but they did have a share in the land, and therefore, while the Levim is chiyav, which for sure be Deraisa. Notwithstanding Tosis' concession, the Kohanim and Levim, which for sure be Deraisa, you should give Yerim actually a brachas close to possibility that maybe the question is better than the answer. And maybe in Ochi Nami, maybe a just as according to one side of the Gemara, a woman's chiv is only the Rabbanan, maybe a Kohen and Levi's chiv is also only the Rabbanan. A possibility. I didn't say we paskin that Nashim is the Rabbanan. I just say that within that world, within that possibility that Nashim is only the Rabbanan, maybe a Kohen and Levi would be the Rabbanan also. It's generally not assumed that way. But again, to be sure to discuss that with seriousness within Shitas Rosh. But at the end of the day, Tosis rejects the entire Rashi, and Tosis says that the real reason why women made the Keturos in the Torah has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. It has to do with two magic words in the text of Bichsa Mazen, Bris and Torah. Hopefully, as the Shiurim develop, we're going to talk a little bit more about this halacha. But the Gemara says in Masechet Brachos that Tosis asks a Bris for Torah in Bichsa Mazen. You have to mention Bris for Torah in mentioning, and the simple meaning of the Gemara is if you don't mention it, you're not even Yotze. But Tosis understood, unlike other Mishnayim, Tosis understood that's a real din in the Torah. You must mention Bris and Torah in Bichsa Mazen. And since women cannot possibly mention, I mean, they can say the words, but it doesn't have halachic significance to them, because Nashim are pturos from Bris Milah, and women are pturos from Bris Milah, and again, hopefully later on, a week or two, whenever we get to this part of the sugya, we will try to fine-tune exactly what that means, because is it really 100% true that women are mufkals from Bris Milah? Is it 100% true women are completely mufkals from Tamatar? And not so clear either one of those statements. But Taisa says, that the tzad to plate the women from Bichsa Mazen Deraisa is based on their inability, their lack of participation in the principles of Bris Milah. So again, we're not even sure whether these svaras, Rashi and Taisa, are even correct, because the Gemara is not sure. The Gemara is not sure, in fact, of women Chemes Deraisa Derabanan. And in the Salam Mitzvah of Derabanan, we have Machlekes Rashi and Taisa, what the svara to pass them in Atar is. But the part of the sugya that's critical for us is the next one. The Gemara says, Man Afkamin. Who cares? The Raisa and the Rabbanan were very religious Jews. We follow mitzvahs of Raisa, we follow mitzvahs of the Rabbanan, we put on tefillin, we wash the Dilas Yadayim, we blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, we light Shabbos candles, we like to do all mitzvahs of the Raisa and the Rabbanan. What's the difference whether a woman's chiv at the Raisa and the Rabbanan? Well, it says, no, chavs enough, kabinu lahaytis ha'anoshim. Can a woman be mighty a man in Bichsa Mazen? So if you hold that a woman's chiv in Bichsa Mazen is the Raisa, then a woman is on equal footing with a man, and therefore, the Ikra Din, she can be made to see a man of Bichsa Mazen. We are not commenting now upon the Tznius Shabbai, on the, is this a good idea, not such a good idea. That's a very, very important topic. That's not our topic right now. In the pure world of Halacha, well, technically speaking, a woman would be able to be made to see a man of Bichsa Mazen if the Chiyuvim are on par. But, if you hold that the Chiyuv of a woman is only the Rabbanon, then basically, according to Moshe Rabbeinu's standards, a woman is a Peturim and a Mitzvah. So as a Peturim and a Mitzvah, the same way she cannot blow shofar for a man, she cannot bench for a man either. Even though, granted, she's Hayabas with the Rabbanim to bench, but when we're Paskin and Deraisa the Kishayla, we cannot invoke the concept of being Mechuyav merely with the Rabbanim. And therefore, the Gemara leaves us hanging. The Gemara says, Taka, what did it? Can a woman be made to a man? It ultimately depends upon the Shayla. Is a woman Chuyav Deraisa the Rabbanim? There is a Machlekes and Yishayim. What the conclusion of the Gemara is? Some Mishayim say the Gemara's conclusion is we still don't know. Like other Mishnah, such as the Ramban, say the Gemara's conclusion is that in fact women are chayavos deraisa, therefore they would be able to be mitzvah. That's already a technical question, what the maskanas haGemara is. But much more important for our purposes is that one line, that one hanocha of the sugya, that imtim tzalaymer, a woman's chiv is onim derabanan, that it is inconceivable that she could be mitzvah man, because bottom line is la'osi derabanan mafik deraisa. That's the line that emanates. That's the line that that springs loud and clear out of the sugya. The question is, if this very line that poses a tremendous, tremendous challenge within the very ABCs of Ichsa Mazon for the following reason. There's a famous Gemara that appears in the seventh paragraph of Masechet Brachos, a story about a very infamous person. His name is Yaneh HaMelech. He was a descendant from the Malach of the Chashmonaim. As the Ramban writes in Parshas Vayechi, you know, the early generation of Chashmonaim were great tzaddikim, and we are eternally grateful for them, not only for the Yom of Hanukkah, but for the fact that if not for them, the Ramban writes, who knows whether Torah would have even survived. Nevertheless, unfortunately, over the years, their descendants went off the deep end, and many of them became apikorsim, many of them became reitzchim, and one of the worst of the worst was Yaneh HaMelech. The Gemara tells a strange story about Yaneh HaMelech was going after the Chachamim, and he was killing many of the Rabbanim, and a particular celebration that he was throwing, and there was a great Rav who was there. The reason why this great Rav was there is because it happened to be his brother-in-law, Shuv ben Shetach. So he was nice, he didn't kill Shuv ben Shetach, he didn't invite him to his party. And as crazy it may sound, the world is full of crazy stories, as crazy it may sound, Yanai and his cronies are throwing a party, the Retzeach, the Apikar is throwing a party, and he wanted to be mechabed, his brother-in-law, with benching. His brother ben Shetach should lead the benching. The whole issue, the whole discussion ensued at the party. It's such a strange thing. You couldn't have even written the story. It's a crazy story. But here you have a person who's running around killing their rabbanim, a person who's running around civil wars, they're killing each other, they have pikarsim, and all of a sudden there's a shah that comes up, who should lead the benching? He wants to be mechabed the rav. He wants to be mechabed Shimon Shetach to lead the benching. The Shimon Shetach said, I can't lead the benching. I can't be mighty everybody in the benching because I'm not a mechlib davar, because I didn't have anything to eat. So they said, no problem. So they gave him a cup of wine. Oh, Baruch Hashem, he drank a cup of wine, and then he was able to leave the mention. The Gemara says that Shimon ben Shetach was kind of right, lahalacha, but not totally. He was right that he wasn't able to leave the mention because he hadn't participated at all in the meal, but he was incorrect in assuming that just having a mere cup of wine would have given him the ability to leave the mention. We pass it against Shimon ben Shetach, the Hilgitana from the Zeus, the Gedali Yonam, from the Mamish Gedal Ador. But that particular point of the Shimon Shetach story, we should look at it, the Gemara says, that we pass him, like the Gemara says later on, Rabbi Yechanan, Eina Maitis Rabim Ashiyahu Kizayas. That the fact that Shimon Shetach had a cup of wine, that didn't enable him up in the way we pass him to be Maitis Rabim. If he just would have a slice of pizza, just would have had a bagel, just would have had a piece of bread, a mere Kizayas, then it would have been okay. That would have been acceptable. That would have been sufficient. So he didn't quite meet the standards of being mechuyav b'davar according to our accepted halachic standards, and the standards that would have, should have been met, what he should have merely eaten a kazayas. So the summary of the story is that if the learned that Shimon said that would have eaten a kazayas, then everything is hunky-dory. Then the story makes perfect sense. Everything is kadasa chadin. I mean, except for the fact that everyone's getting killed, but otherwise the story is kadasa chadin. That Shimon Shetach had the ability to be mighty Yanai and his cronies by merely eating a kazayas. But all the Rishayim in the spot, places in the Rosh, in the Rambah, everybody is following the same cash. Wait, and I said, hold the phone. How are you talking? How is it that we could justify Shimon ben Shetach having a mere slice of bread, having a half a bagel? He's going to be Maitzi Yanai and his Chevra in Birchas HaMazon. I can imagine that Yanai and his Chevra, when they celebrated and had this massive banquet, they were stuffed to the gills. Nobody was on Weight Watchers back then. They were eating an awful, awful lot. Most probably well past the point of Kadesh Sviya, and therefore, technically speaking, all the participants in that suit were most probably Chayav and Birchas HaMazon in their eyes. Shimon ben Shetach, he's merely eating a kazayis. The Gemara says, that's great, that's wonderful, perfect. Let him be Maitre Zerab. Rektiv Yishayinim, wait a second, how could Shimon ben Shetach, who's only Chayav and Birchas HaMazon mid the Rabbanon, remember, because he only ate a kazayis, and the sheer of Birchas HaMazon Deraisa, of course, as we all know from last week, maybe, what's going to see? How can a Derabbanon be Maitzi Deraisa? So when the Rishayim formulate that question, they invoke this sugya in Brachas about Birchas HaMazon, the sugya Dav Chaf. Just as the Gemara says that if a woman's chiyav and benching is only the Derabbanon, lo osi Derabbanon mapik Deraisa, who had the nami, lo osi Derabbanon of Achuz Kazayis, of Kadesh. This is the kasha. You learn the sugyas, either the third paragraph of Brachas or the seventh paragraph, no matter which end you're coming to the sugya from, no matter which angle you're coming from, this is the question. Ma nishtana, what's the chiluk between a kezayis being meitzi a kedei svia, in contrast to a woman not being able to be meitzi a man. That is the $1 million question. So the answers in the Rishonim go mamish span across the spectrum how to solve this problem. So there are some Rishonim who are so bothered with the discussion, who are so struggling with discussion, that they concluded the following, that what we said last week, that kedei svia is a din deraisa, we were wrong. And you know what the emes shir of their eyes is? Kizayis. We don't have to feel bad to say we were wrong. The Balach HaSharis were also wrong. Because if you remember from last week, we mentioned the whole story in the Avchof and Maseches Brachos. On that very daf, about the Balach HaSharis, saying that why you make Yisipanim Yisroel, the Rebbeinu Shalom responded, Shehem Achmir Al-Atzman, the Kizayis HaChabeta, was that Gemara, the vice of the Balach HaSharis, it seemed to point in the direction that Kizayis is only with the Rabbanan. So come a group of Rishonim led by the Rabban the Machamas in the third Pech of Bracha says that the Emes Lamita is that Pirchas HaMazon of Kizayis is the Araisa. And since Pirchas HaMazon of a Kizayis is the Araisa, that explains why Shimon HaShetach could have been Motzi the Rabban. Again, the intricacies of the story were off a little bit. He thought a Kizayis, so he thought it was a drink of wine, maybe we need more, but in Tim's Lamita, Leitzi would have had a Kizayis of bread. We would have had no qualms in him being made Yisrael Rabbah. Why is that? I, the Rabbanan, the Raisa? No, says the Rabban, because that whole Svar of Kezayas, the Rabbanan, we were completely wrong. We were thrown off by the story of the Melchi Asharis, but the evidence is not true. But we spoke about last week, the Rabban's Raisa from other Gemaras in the 7th reference. That's one extreme way in Rishonim to solve the problem, is to say we were wrong in our analysis of what Kezayas was all about. There are other Rishonim about Mamash Ben HaKotzel HaKotzel. Rashi quotes in the Baal Halachas Gedolos, already back to the days of the Gain before the Rishonim, the Baal Halachas Gedolos was also so bothered, so struggling with this question, that he changed the facts on the ground. He says, you know, you thought that Yanni and his friends were making a top party, Kiyat HaMelech? They were also washing away a little bit. They were also having, wasn't such a big party. It was also Kazayas. There was also a little snack. Wasn't such a big lavish feast. And therefore, ooh, we could read the sign of relief, says the Baal Halachas Gedolos, that a kezayis could be mitzvah kezayis. There is no kasha. The kusha mikra leisa. The kasha was predicated on false information, false facts, and therefore halach lemaisa says the Baal Halachas Gedolos, a kezayis cannot be mitzvah kezayis. Because one is there, one and one is there. So these are the two extreme answers in the Rishonim. The Ramban basically did away with the whole Gemara about kezayis being the Rabban. The Baal Halachas Gedolos basically did away with the whole Yamai story by saying we got all the facts wrong. The size of the meal was toned down more than we thought it was. These are the extreme views in the Rishonim who struggle with this problem. But the more conventional answer, so to speak, that seems to be the more popular answer in the Rishonim, is the idea that's given, presented by Tosfos and elaborated upon the Rosh. And this is the answer that makes it into Shulchan Aruch, becomes relevant for us to Ma'aseh. Where the Tosfos and the Rosh develop the following idea. That there is a big, big difference between the two cases. Between the scenario of the Isha, trying to be motzi the ish if she's only the rabbanan, in contrast to the kezayis being motzi the kedei svia, even though it's true says Tais in the Rosh, that you know chinami the kezayis is the rabbanan, the kedei svia is the raisa, and that's what happened, but that's still okay. What's the difference? They keep in mind, can the rabbanan be motzi the raisa or not? The Tais invokes a sugi that appears at the end of the third paragraph of Maseches Hashashana. The Gemara tells us an important prime, important detail within the sugya of Mechui B'dov. We started off the shiur today by saying. There's an absolute baseline is you require the chibidover. You're not the chibidover, you can go home. You can't be mighty somebody bechamasi. So I'll share with you a story that happened to me, my misunderstanding of this halacha, and I think it'll highlight what the halacha really is. I remember when I was in eighth grade, so about a year after my bar mitzvah, so I was really, really excited. I actually learned how to lay and do kriyas and megillah. And I was so excited. I was going to do kriyas and megillah. I was going to lay the megillah in the afternoon for my grandmother. So about a couple of days before Purim, so we were learning the halachas about who can be the Megillah, who can be the Megillah. And it was mentioned this halacha, in order to be mighty somebody in a mitzvah, Kriyas Megillah, you have to be obligated in the mitzvah. And like my heart, like so. So I thought to myself, oh no, here, when I go late at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm not obligated in the mitzvah anymore, because I already heard the Megillah 8 o'clock in the morning in shul. So it's like, Gaval, I spent an entire year learning the Megillah. So what do I do? So I remember asking a Rebbe at the time, does that mean that I shouldn't go to shul in the morning at Purim? Does that mean maybe I should have in mind not to be yotzi in the morning? Because I still want to be a mechuyev b'davar? So he said, relax. a sugya, I know we told me it's a sugya with the regular Rosh Hashanah. That's it. That's not called Enim Chibidov. Enim Chibidov means you are not chayiv in this mitzvah now, and you weren't chayiv in this mitzvah, and you're not going to be this mitzvah, not your mitzvah. When a woman blows shofar for a man, she's an Enim Chayavis Bidover. If I have a mitzvah that I already was yaitze in, I'm a Mechibidov, it's a Gavra Mechibidov, it's just I was already yaitze Mechiyav, I'm still called a Mechibidov. And that's what the Gemara coins the phrase, Afa Bishiyatza Maitzi. Even though I already was Maitzi, I was already was yaitze myself, I can still continue to be Maitzi others. Afa Bishiyatza Maitzi. So, we can read the sign of relief. The Valkyrie heard the Megillah in the morning, he can still lay the Megillah for another 20 people throughout the course of the day. About the chaos, read the shelf in the morning, you can still blow later in the afternoon. That's fine. Alpha Pisha Yatza, Moitzi. Even though you were Yatzi already, you could still be Moitzi. The Chor Tepel, the Chor is a strange din, because I'm not a Mechubidom. Bottom line, I was Yatzi. So what makes me Mechubidom? The Rashi in the spot has the famous beer. Rashi says, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazem. We usually think that's a nice cute song. It's good for a rabbi's drasha Shabbos morning. It's a pi din. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazem, a pi halacha. If there's a Jew out there who hasn't heard the Megillah, a Jew out there who hasn't heard the Shofar, it's as if I haven't completed my responsibility. I'm still Chayav B'Dover. It's not just a drush. It's a Pidin. I'm still called a Mechuyav B'Dover because there's another Jew out there somewhere in the entire world who hasn't heard the Megillah yet. And it's that responsibility, that is Chayavus of Kol Yisrael Reim Zelazeh, that a Pidin transforms me to become a Mamish, a Mechuyav B'Dover. If that's the case, this plays in the Rush, that's what's going on in the Sugya of Birchsa. A woman cannot be made to a man in Birchsa Mazan if her chiv is only the Rabbanah. Because she is a Gavra, is not a Mechubidav Midaraisa. If I am a man who is a Gavra Mechubidav Midaraisa, it happens to be, I didn't eat in the last 72 minutes, I didn't eat today Sviya. I haven't eaten today Sviya in weeks. It doesn't matter. I'm like a Yatza Maitzi. I am potentially Mechubidov. Last month when I ate, I was Mechubidov, but I benched in last month's meal. So I'm a Bishiyat Samaiti. It means I'm a Gav who is Mechubidov. I personally didn't eat. Because Arvus, I have a Chivas Arvus to make sure that everybody benches. And therefore, I can be Maiti in the Chavasai. It says, place in the Rosh, there's a fundamental difference between the Sugya of women versus men, and contrast to Kazayas versus Kadei Sviya. And then Tosis gets guilty of overkill. Because if that's the case, says Tosis, so why do I have to eat a kazayis for? The Gemara says the Feirus that if you don't eat a kazayis, you can't be mighty. Why not? According to Ashtabal Torah, why is this fundamentally different than the person who heard the Megillah in the morning? If I heard the Megillah, I heard the shofar, I can be mighty based on Afdishat and mighty. So if Kvaratskva, if you're ready, willing to invoke the parish of Afdishat and mighty and Vichas and Mazur, why do you go the distance? Why do you have to eat a kazayis in the first place? Place the straw of the hands and says, you're right. You don't really have to. I think Gemara says you do. That's for a technical course of things. How are you going to say with a straight face, Shachal and Mishaloi? Shachal and Mishaloi, come on, you didn't eat anything. So therefore, when there are one on the Chumrah, you have to eat a Kazayas just to make the Chal and Mishaloi, not to be a Shakir. But in terms of pure Maitzi purposes, you can be Maitzi, seven of the Maitzi, even if you ate nothing. Because of the Shiyat's Maitzi case. But this is the very popular answer that appears in the Taisim and the Rush. Explain the difference between the two sugyas. So everybody said we have a lot more work to do in terms of this fine-tuning this. Because this sets the stage for us in terms of understanding the concept of Yatza Maitzi, Shamei HaKa'ayna, Mechui B'davar, Arvas, Afish Yatza Maitzi, which are really called their Kula sugyas, but particularly how they play out in terms of Brachas, particularly how they play out in terms of Bechsa Mozart. We're going to have to take this a little bit more into next week, try to find through it a little bit. This place in the Rosh is so posh, it makes so much sense. You have to stop for a second and ask yourself, how come nobody else said it? How come the Ramban didn't say it? The Bahag didn't say it? The Rosh didn't say it? How do we show them don't say this? It seems to be so obvious to us. Hopefully that's your next week. We're going to pick up on the final touches of this Nekudah the Sugya. And this is going to continue to set the stage for us of discussing other potential issues of being mighty people in mitzvahs, particularly Birchas HaMazon. A lot of the general culture cool sugyas of Yatzimaiti, Arvas, Mechubidav, etc., have their sources in the Sugyas of Birchas HaMazon. Hopefully, it's from next week, we'll begin to take this, go perhaps one step further in terms of getting a better grasp of this particular angle of the Sugyas of Birchas HaMazon. Okay? Have a wonderful week. Take care, and I'll see everybody next week.